what? You do whatever you want to do. Because we live.
Here we are.
Put the bangs wherever they need to be for you to feel comfortable in front of the camera. You be you.
I will be me.
I got a nickname for you.
What is it?
Denny. See? You can't give me that face after not having a nickname.
Did you? Denny?
Denny.
No. Not even good. No. It's really bad.
Okay.
Like, what? Where did that even come from?
Doi.
What?
It kind of combines your first and, you know, the...
That's actually like a bad word in Cambodian.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay. You're missing some sounds, but yeah.
Okay. I don't want to say dynasty because I feel like people already mispronounce your name and say that anyways.
They do.
All right, I'm going to try again next episode. We're going to have a nickname that's going to stick, and it's going to be great.
Okay.
And
okay,
it's not going to be an Asian joke like last episode. It's going to be great.
Okay. I can't wait.
It's going to be creme de la creme.
Does anyone have nicknames that you think that you could use for me?
Ooh. Hey, nickname dynasty contest.
Ooh.
In the comments.
Win? What do they win?
Nothing.
That's not true. We could.
Nothing.
Yeah. Okay.
Shout out.
Yeah. Okay.
And then nothing.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Unless you like and subscribe so we can get to 1,000 subscribers so we can start a Patreon and then we can start doing things like naming our subscribers live.
Okay. Yeah, like, subscribe, follow.
Yeah, like at a certain tier.
Yeah.
You just give a nickname for Dynasty each episode. Like as a part of the tier.
Okay.
Let's do that at the $5 tier. Make it really easy. Just to nickname me all the time. You never, ever have to worry about nicknames. Never. Ever again.
Never. Okay, but we'll try again next episode. Hopefully people have better ones than Denny.
Yeah, why are you so triggered?
Because where do they even come? It's
welcome to the DLW show. My name is Darius, and this is my great co-host named
Dynasty.
Denny.
Dynasty.
Okay. I'll let you have that one.
That sounds like Denny's. Which nobody really likes. So no.
Yo, there is a whole subculture for Denny's that I was not hip to. Not a fan. I have really good friends. That's their thing.
It's Crackle Barrel or nothing.
Say that again?
It's Cracker Barrel or nothing.
Nah, you put a hard ER on that first one.
Cracker Barrel. Cracker Barrel. Cracker Barrel.
Okay. Well,
what is it? Calm
down. Jeez Louise. Oh, I wish my soundboard could censor you right now. Unbelievable. Oh, man. Okay, welcome to the DLW show where we try to get canceled every episode. Where conversations of faith and culture intersect with the tone of good friends hanging out in a living room.
In a living room or basement.
We are still in the basement, man.
Yeah.
This place is great. Like and subscribe. Hey, how are you doing today?
I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good.
A little bit more awake than the other episode.
Yeah. That was last episode. I was really tired.
Yeah.
I was exhausted, but I'm really excited because Sherman is smoking. He brought out the smoker.
I'm glad you finished that. Like, I don't understand. I'm just going to wait to see where this one goes.
He brought out.
He just picked up a new habit there, apparently.
The barbecue smoker.
There we go.
Ribs and chicken.
Fire ribs. Seriously, if you ever like looking for a really fire caterer Dynasty and her husband have an amazing, amazing business. His ribs are phenomenal.
Yeah. To be clear, I don't do anything. I just.
Well, now you're like doing the mac and cheese, right?
No, that's just
okay
for me. No, that's just for that's, me.
Mac and cheese is self-care.
Yeah, no one else. Sorry.
You know, that usually indicates you're not a good cook.
It's
if your kids aren't even eating your mac and cheese.
The kids are eating it.
Okay. I just, okay. All right. Gosh. Praise God. Okay. Hallelujah. Like and subscribe. All right. Dynasty, you're leading this topic this week.
Yeah. We are going to talk about when do you leave toxic relationships? I feel like I should start rapping when I hear that.
They can't hear that. The sound pad still doesn't work.
Oh.
I just played a sound, y'all. It didn't work.
Okay. All right. Oh. I'm glad I didn't just randomly try.
What? Okay. What are the signs that you should get out of a toxic relationship?
Have you been in a toxic relationship?
Yes. I have, which is why I like this topic.
Okay.
I will say there is a huge difference when you are in a toxic situation.
Yeah.
Than when you're looking at a friend in a toxic situation.
Yeah.
So when you ask that question, it's just hard. It's hard to answer that because I can answer it as someone looking out. But I feel like I got to be honest about kind of looking into like someone who's been in a toxic situation. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a difference between a toxic relationship and a toxic season. I think those are two different things. I don't know where you want to go with this. I'll let you kind of lead the convo here.
Toxic season. Let's talk more about that. What is that?
I think I live personally my life very vulnerably and honestly.
Yeah.
Not everybody needs to know everything.
Right.
However, I believe God can use anything as a testimony.
Yeah.
Me and my wife, we had a rough first year, maybe 2 years of marriage.
Okay.
Very rough.
Okay.
Nothing would have pointed to signs of a toxic relationship.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That I would argue there are clear signs for a toxic relationship. We had a very toxic season, mm-hmm. yelling at one another,
okay.
A lack of respect and love in the home, living essentially what felt like two separate lives at times that happened to come together for the purposes of ultimately what partnership looks like. And we had to go to therapy. We actually went to therapy twice. We sought counsel from an actual therapist, marriage counselor. We have incredible friends who minister in our lives, disciple at us, our pastors sitting down with them.
Yeah.
It took us a long time to get out of a season of toxicity and get back to our purpose and love. Okay. I'm just being real.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's people that can relate who love their partner, love their spouse. But man, you just have that season where I love you, but I don't like you.
Right.
I really don't like you.
Right.
No. I think we need some help because if we don't get no help,
we gonna fight.
It might be worse.
Oh, okay.
And that's where we were at. It was we needed help. And honestly, it was in the help that we got healing. And I feel like again, a toxic season, you're always looking for. Both partners, I believe, in a toxic season are looking for the hope together,
mm-hmm.
whereas in a toxic relationship, typically it's one person trying to hope and the other person is just dead weight.
Okay.
That's my hunch.
Has anyone ever been in a toxic season? I'm just curious. Or more so of like how many people have been in toxic relationships? You know, I asked followers that and there were a lot of responses of like, being in a toxic relationship with work or with a partner. I think that toxicity is the same regardless of the space of work or partnership.
Yeah.
Because it's interesting to like see it in a relationship and how it differs than like a work ship. Cause there's similarities for sure. But I don't know. It's just, I think about sometimes like, when do people leave and like, what are the signs of like, hey, I'm maybe not in the best spot. Mm. And so
what would you say are the signs of a toxic relationship? Give me clear signs.
You know, I would say not sleeping well, like not sleeping. Like, what is it? Insomnia?
Yeah.
I think that that's like one, overeating or not eating at all.
Like yeah.
Whatever you're dealing with or going through causes you to like not eat or to eat too much. I think that's something. You know, I'll be honest. I think that this is fascinating to me because in relationship wise, I've only been with one person.
Yeah.
And I think that, yeah, we've had our toxic seasons, both of us, mm-hmm. but we were so young.
Yeah.
And now it's different.
Yeah.
And so as I see friends going through their relationships, it's just, you know, different for me where I'm like outsider looking in and I've never been around it.
Yeah.
And yeah. I'm not saying my marriage is perfect. It's far from it. He gets on my nerves real bad.
Right.
But just not in that way of us like being super toxic with one another.
Right, right. I think a healthy relationship, you have those moments where you can't stand your partner. But I still want to kind of be around you.
Oh.
Me and Meg, we're like, we're there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Man, you made me mad.
You grind my gears. But I want to hang out.
You want to go eat? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's hard.
Yeah.
Man. You want to watch All American?
What if that isn't normal? Have you ever thought of that?
What do you mean?
Like, what if that thought of like, I can't stand you, but I love you and I want to be around you all the time. That's not normal. What if that's not normal?
I think it's the way that you phrase that, though. I can't stand you right now, but you as a human, you bring me the deepest joy. That even when I'm angry with you,
mm-hmm.
I also want to be near you.
Okay, poetry.
I am.
Spoken word right here, right now.
No, I mean, I think it's actually healthy to have conflict. I think the thing that we've had to learn is how to not allow conflict to take away from the love.
Yeah.
And I think a toxic relationship, man, I don't know how else to put this. It's constant conflict.
Yeah.
And you can phrase that however you want. The most obvious signs, abuse, physical, mm-hmm. emotional, sexual abuse of any capacity.
Right.
And the tolerance of that abuse, I think, is one of the deepest signs of a toxic relationship. And I would say that abstractly, both with a partner and, let's say, a working situation. It's like I'm tolerating being taken advantage of constantly. There's an emotional abuse that's happening there. There's a physical abuse with your time and your personhood, but especially within partnerships. And I think the difference for me is the toxic relationship. There's a cycle. Mm-hmm. It's a willingness to remain in the cycle that ultimately produces a toxic relationship.
Okay.
A toxic season is there's an awareness that this is not okay. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to break that cycle. And it's really hard.
Right, right, right.
We're going to break it.
Right.
Those are two different things for me personally.
I think that's very insightful.
Yeah. What is your hunch? What do you think is the difference between a toxic relationship and a toxic season?
You know, I would say I've never even thought of it as a toxic season. So that's you.
That's just me.
Awareness. Yeah, no, but it makes sense though. Like wanting to fix it. This is not like who you are
right.
at the core, but it's like you're going through the movements of like not being so kind to each other. And so yeah. it's like season and not this is the root of who you are.
Right.
And so I never thought of it like that. I always just thought like toxic was toxic, period.
Yeah.
But what was the question?
What would you, I'll put it a different way. What would you say is an example of a toxic relationship practically? And you can be real. You can be real to your own testimony, or you can be real to like a story that you've heard maybe without using
people. Right. I would say I know of a toxic relationship, and how I know it's toxic is because, and I think it's like you said, it's more so one person specifically. It could be both, right? But in this specific one, it's one person. And what I've seen is whenever the person who is toxic, if their partner is happy or doing well, they will do things to make sure that their partner is upset and gets angry. As well as like very controlling, like yeah. what you can or can't do and when you can or can't do it.
Yeah.
And I, you know, that's something that I've seen. And sometimes I wonder if it's just because they don't know culture-wise what a good relationship is or how Ooh. It should look.
Yeah, I think we're getting to a place. I think most toxic relationships can all stem back to the trauma and unhealed points in our lives.
For sure.
I know a lot of people in different relationships. Someone I love, I would say, is in a very toxic relationship right now. And I believe a huge part of that is the unhealed parts of their assault. And so there's almost this tolerance for the abuse.
For sure. Yeah.
Because of the unhealed part of that reality. And it's heartbreaking because you can't shake someone out of a toxic cycle.
No.
But I do think that if you're able, this is one of my things. I think part of breaking a toxic relationship with a friend is if they get to a point where they're able to step away, I think time and distance sobers us.
Yeah. When I think about just toxicness, sometimes I think about it starting with yourself. And something that person named Anonymous, their therapist told them was, it's how you speak to yourself. How you speak to yourself is what you allow. If you're not nice to yourself, how do you, one, expect to extend that kindness to others? And then how do you expect to accept that kindness back? Yeah. Interesting, right?
That's really, yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, man, I'm real mean to myself.
Yeah.
And I think it's just, you know, there's obviously, I think everyone, like you said, has unhealed trauma. However, little or big. But yeah, it definitely hits differently when you like really sit and think about it and you're like,
Honestly, so this is the, man, this is the Jesus in me, the pastor in me.
Yes, please. Come on.
There's a scripture that just, man, that just hits this on a level. In Philippians 4, man, I love that. Paul challenges in verse 8, he challenges us to think about, it's a mindset shift he calls us to. He He says, brothers and sisters, think about the things that are good and worthy of praise. Think about the things that are true and honorable and right and pure and beautiful and respected. Do what you've learned and remember and receive from me what I've told you and what you saw. And the God who gives peace will be with you. I'm not a fan of the power of positivity because I think you need to look at things soberly, yeah. Right? If there's an issue that's happening of injustice, you can't positively think about abuse and trauma and racism and all the phobias and right. all the things.
Right.
I think God hates that, mm-hmm. right? What I think Paul is trying to say is more akin to what you're saying is we can look at things with reality, but with a mindset towards a God who ultimately is going to get the glory in it. Mm-hmm. That's going to find the good through it. Right. And this is why I think, man, I love the Christians that I get to hang out with. That's the way I put it. I don't know about y'all.
Right.
But the Christians I hang out with come from abuse, have had horrible things happen to them, divorces, broken cycles of addiction, like toxic relationships with every substance, every person, every career. But the reality is that we can talk soberly about those things because of God.
Yeah.
And this is what I think Paul is talking about here. It's like, how do you choose joy in spite of the circumstance? How do you set your mind in spite of, it's only a God thing for me.
Yeah.
Because he's the one who redeems toxicity.
Yeah.
He's the only one that can make it pure.
Yeah.
I don't know. So I heard what you said and I just heard that scripture. I just wanted to share because I just connect with that.
Yeah, for sure. I think, and sometimes I think that something that we talked about was like being in toxic season. And sometimes people, I think, always have that mindset of like, oh, it doesn't happen to others or,
yeah,
you know, like I'm sitting in it and yeah. It's different. And this week, it's weird, is I ran into a couple that was probably, they were definitely retired. They were retired. So I would, and, you know, I didn't card them. I didn't like say, how old are you?
Right, right.
But they were much older. They were hanging out with their grandson. And something that she, like we were talking about, like, I don't know how or why, but we're just talking about God. Just, yeah. Like our testimony around it. And she always said, like she used this phrase so many times, but she said, our hardest and toughest battles are only fought on our knees.
Facts.
And I said, oh, okay, okay.
That's good.
And she said, my husband and I are going through a season right now.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. And she was like, I didn't think that we would be here. And she was like, but we're going to be still. Because we think that that's what he wants.
Yeah.
And she was like, I don't know what this looks like for us ultimately. And
yeah.
She was like, but it's a season of just listening and being still. And sometimes it's like, obviously when you're going through it, it's so hard. Mm-hmm. Like you're like, why is it happening to me? And it's hard to kind of see like the bigger picture of everything. And when you get out of those moments, when you know, it's done and, you know, over with. As much as none of it is any better, you kind of can look back and say, like, I am a stronger or better person, or I understand the plan. Because if it wasn't this way, I wouldn't have had this understanding.
Amen. Man, that's so good. Man, that's so good. I'm literally tearing up because this is my testimony with my bride. Right. And I love the use of the pronouns of we.
Mm-hmm.
Again, a toxic season, we're going to figure this out. There's a togetherness in a toxic season that's not a toxic relationship.
Right.
And when I tell you the testimony of me and my bride and where we're at today, and it's the glory of God. I spent some time on my hands and knees, a lot of time, and to see where we're at now, actually, I wrote I wrote a poem recently. And one of the things that I was telling my wife about this poem is I haven't written you poetry in a while. Mm-hmm. But poetry is how I express my where I'm at in my thoughts.
Yeah.
But I haven't written a poem about you because we've been in such a rough place.
Right.
And so as I'm thinking about where we're at now and where we've come from, I wrote this piece. I'm going to just share it. Yeah. Bump it.
Yeah.
It's called Only Once at Sunrise. There's something impossible I witness. My days through your eyes. A gaze at sun shape, but only once at sunrise. Your truth enlightens morning when decisions cloud my sighs, revealing rainbows and a promise amidst pain and compromise. In light of darkest moments, when sunny days eclipse me blind, I glimpse the twinkle of your scars, turning sorrow into signs. Your stars whisper wisdom when light seems to hide. Moonflowers still blossom, but only neath night skies. So I wander with you north. For miles, words fail, tears cry, till northern lights consume me, where insight makes wonder of my whys. And as morning finally breaks through, again, my days upon your eyes, a gaze at sun shape, but only once at sunrise.
Wow, that was very good. Welcome to the DLW show where we cry.
Yeah.
And read poetry. That was so sweet. It's
man, I love my wife, man. I'm so grateful for her.
She's amazing. For sure. For sure. And I think that that's one of those things where it's like rough patches are hard. And I'll never take that away from anybody. But when you're able to get through it and to get past it, the love, the bond, the realization of like sometimes self-worth,
yeah,
things like that is just so much sweeter.
Hey man, that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're watching on YouTube, share in the comments your stories, your testimonies. If you're in a toxic cycle, hit us up.
Yeah.
So we can comment and be able to connect as a community. You're not alone. If you're in a toxic season, we have amazing friends and fellowship who are here for you. You don't have to stay in those seasons. No. And in those relationships.
No.
Yeah. I guess we'll talk to y'all next time.